Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this cold Sunday morning. I'm sure you all have some trouble getting up this morning. I did.
Very cold.
Very cold out there. I think it is still below freezing, right? I think it is about 33 degrees. Thanks for joining here and also online, worshiping together. God has given us one more day to live in this world, which is a gift from God. So let us be thankful for that. Every day that God gives us, every moment, is a gift from God to be here, to be a blessing to this world. So glad that you are able to join here today and also online. We have a couple of guests that I wanted to welcome, Tony and Susan. Tori's mom and dad. You know Tori. Is she going to read the scripture today? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so we welcome them today and thanks for joining us today. And today is one of those days, like Chuck says, that we have more people here than in the congregation, right? That is a blessing. So together we can worship God and glorify His name. The announcements are listed in the second page in the bulletin. Those are the regular announcements that we have. Our food ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. And also the books that are available for sale will also help our mission work. And our third Thursday luncheon is going to be on the 15th. Is over this past week. I don't know if anybody gone. I didn't go.
There were three people there.
Okay, so that's the third Thursday lunch, and I will correct the date for February, that we will join for a time of fellowship and lunch. Today is the 18th, that we celebrate this as also Human Relations Sunday, which is the Sunday before Martin Luther King Jr.'s day that we celebrate tomorrow. It is a day that in many congregations have a special offering to support the neighborhoods through the ministries of developing communities. So in recognizing this, we are called to make an impact in communities where people struggle because of their tools and resources that they have available to reach their God-given potential. So let us also remember that in our prayers, to remember those who are marginalized, who are poor, and who need support with us, from us, for justice and confirmation in this world. It is also Epiphany Sunday, that we continue the season of Epiphany until the Lent season. Epiphany is, we have been talking about that for the last couple of Sundays, the visit of the Magi, the wise men from the East. And they came and visited the baby, and then they returned. So Christmas story does not end with the visit of the wise men. The Christmas story actually begins with the return of the wise men, because the glory of the Lord as Son of God revealed not only to the Jewish people, but also to the ends of the world, to the Gentiles. That's what we celebrate during this season of Epiphany. Epiphany, the word means revelation. Revelation of God to this world, to our hearts and in our lives. So let us also celebrate this season as the Epiphany season continues. Thanks for joining again. Anybody have any other announcements? And I have listed the Sundays of Transfiguration. Sunday is February 15th, and Ash Wednesday, which begins our Lent season, is also February 18th. So we will continue doing that in the calendar. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, and service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do in this community, to share His love to the people who are around us, who are in need. So let us use those opportunities faithfully. And there are no other announcements. I will continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 400. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by failing tongues above. Praise the mountain, fix upon it, Mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I fly, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace a greater, better, daily unconstrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy words of love.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship together as your children. You formed and created us from nothing and gave us a life to live in this world, but you also redeemed us from our fallen nature of sin and death so that we can become part of the God's kingdom and to be with you in eternity. We acknowledge the glory of eternal triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You made one blood of all nations, and by a star in the east revealed to all people to him whose name is Emmanuel. As we celebrate the season of Epiphany, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to see the glory of your face in our lives every day, to experience the power of love that you shown us in this world, so that we can reach out to others with that same kind of love that you have shown to us. Thank you for your presence in our midst today, Lord. Touch each and every one of us here today with your power as we go from this place. May your name be lifted up. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you. We lift your name up, O God. Thank you again for blessing us today with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He. Please remain standing for the responsive reading, which comes from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16, which is also found on page 810 in the hymnal. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord,
My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
For the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pinions.
Under his wings you will find refuge, his faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation,
no evil shall befall you, no scourge shall come your way.
For God will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
They will bear you up in your arms, lest you lack
your courage and
stone. You will tread on the lion of the harrier, the young lion and serpent you will trample under foot.
Because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them.
I will protect them because they are my enemy.
When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them.
I will satisfy them with long life and show them my salvation.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also it's a time that we share our burdens and concerns and share with each other, and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in his promise that he will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. The last page in the bulletin, we have a box of prayer requests listed there. You can follow this for your regular prayer, in your regular prayers every day. Remember these people and these items in your prayers, especially the ones that are highlighted, are going through sickness in their bodies. We need healing. They need healing their bodies. Have an update from Jenny Owens, Tim Owens' wife. She had a breathing asthma attack a couple of weeks ago, remember, and she was taken to the emergency. Spent about 4 days in the emergency, then she recovered out of the asthma, but her body got weak. So they had to send her to rehab. So on Tuesday, she came back home. So I talked to Pastor Tim, and she's doing well, but she needs a lot of prayers from us, and also Pastor Tim. Please remember them in our prayers. And he will be preaching and coming and preaching to us at the last Sunday of February and first Sunday of March. So we are still planning on that. Also remember Yolanda Tong. She's also going through some hard time. Thanks for joining here today early. And she will be gone for a month in February back to San Diego. And she has to do some procedures there to get to the bottom of what she's going through. So please pray for her for travel back there also. And pray for Robert. Looks like our columns of prayers are getting bigger and bigger every Sunday. Robert was at the doctor's office, and he doesn't need a surgery. That's a good news. So they can fix the hole that they suspect to have on his somewhere in the intestine. They can fix it without surgery, with medications. So he will have to be careful with his diet. So he's back home. I talked to him. He's doing well. But he was a little worried about the surgery, if he needed one, but that's a good news. Thanks be to God for that. Gene Barrington is back almost to normal. He's walking with a stick, but he's not there yet to climb steps or do anything, driving or anything, so please pray for him. And his back surgery was successful after the second visit, so keep him in our prayers. Jeff Woodman, is doing all right?
Well, he has surgery on the 26th. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So keep him in our prayers. Okay. And Sean and Amy Conway, Lou is not here today. I didn't talk to him, but she was doing okay last week. And pray for Adam.
Well, I talked to Lou Tuesday, and she thought she had the flu.
Yeah, that's what I heard last time. She had the flu. And pray for Melissa Pilcher also, for her family situation. Continue to pray for these people. And pray, please remember Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Jerry Raines. These are prayer, regular prayer items, people that we remember in our prayers every day. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who work behind the scenes to make our lives comfortable. The grocery clerks, delivery people, mailmen, trash workers, construction workers, farmers, I mean, you name them, a lot of them working day and night to support us behind the scenes. So let us be thankful for their services and pray for them and for their families. Pray for our nation, our leaders, the Congress, our president, vice president, all of those who make decisions that affect our lives every day. That we pray that God will give them the wisdom. And the wisdom of God to do the right things and make the right decision to bring unity and peace to our country. Also pray for world leaders. They will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. And let's pray for our church, that God has given us in this time of history to be here in this particular community to be His witness with a purpose. So let us do that with responsibility and faithfulness. And God will guide us with His Holy Spirit every day to do His ministry in this community. Let us remember all the pastors and churches in this area and around the world. Missionaries who work in many parts of the world in very bad situations. Remember them in our prayers also. Those are the prayer requests that I have for today. Anybody have anything to add or call outs, updates? If there are no special calls, we'll go to God in prayer with a silent moment, personal prayer in the beginning, and then I'll close with a closing prayer afterwards. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Merciful and loving God, we thank You for this time of prayer that You give us to come before You as Your children with our prayers of praises and prayers of burdens. Thank You for the manifold blessings and the gift of life and the joy that you give us every day. Thank You for the health and strength You gave us today to get up this morning to be around in this world. Above all, we thank You for this opportunity that You brought us together to worship together as Your children. And we thank You for Jesus Christ, Your only Son, who came to this world, lived among us, suffered and died, and rose from the dead, through whom we have eternal life to be with You. We come before You as Your children with our needs and our burdens, O God. Many of us need healing in our bodies. Many of us are broken in different ways in our bodies and in our minds and spirit. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, You become our friend, O God. When we go through grief and suffering, You become our peace. We pray for courage in the face of opposition and peace under pressure, faith in the face of tragedy, and comfort in bereavement. Lord, You are our loving friend when we feel alone. Heal us, Lord, especially the ones that we have lifted up, the ones who are going through various problems in their lives. Especially we pray for Jeff Woodman as he is going to the surgery. Bless him with Your grace that it will be a successful procedure, and also pray for his family. Bless them with Your peace and grace. We pray for Jenny Owens. Thank You for the recovery that she got. Continue to bless her with Your with your healing hand. Especially she's back at home recovering, we pray for your special grace upon her and her families. We pray for Yolanda also as she's going back to San Diego for further procedures. We pray for your grace upon her during the travel and also during the treatment there. We pray for your guidance for the doctors and nurses to treat her. We pray for Sean and Demi Conway. We pray for Pam. We also pray for Robert and Jean Barrington. Thank you for the good news that their progress with their recovery. And also we pray for Adam for his continued treatment. We pray for Lou and Jean McBrayer, Grace Saints, Harry Basur, Carol Clemens, and Jerry Raines. We pray that your continued hands be upon them and support them and help them during this time of sickness that they are going through and weak moments in their lives. We thank you again for your presence in all of our dear ones in their situations of life. We pray for Melissa Pilzer. Bless her with your guidance every day. She's going through some tough time in her life. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who work behind the scenes to make us comfortable, O God. We remember their services and we thank you for their services and we lift them up and their families up in your hands. We thank you for everything you give us as a church here, Lord, to be your presence in this community. Help us to use all the opportunities that you give us faithfully to serve others with your love. We pray for all the churches and missions and ministries that are around us, plus all the pastors and ministers, and also the missionaries around the world. We also pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives. We pray that you will give them the wisdom to do the right thing and to make the right decisions and bring unity and peace to our country. We pray for all the world leaders and all the people who make decisions in many different ways that we can have peace around the world, O God. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Help us to worship you together in our singing, in our prayers, and the meditation of the word we do here today. Bring honor and glory to your name. Open our hearts to your spirit here, Lord. Then whatever you guide us today and you command us today, that we will obey with an obedient heart and humble our spirits, O God, to receive your word. May your name be lifted up and the people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
From whom our blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all of our blessings that you shower us with every day. Thank you for your protection and your love. We pray that you bless this offering to multiply it and keep us in your prayers and just be with us each day. And there are a lot of people that need help, so let us be able to help them, if not monetarily, just be there in service and use us to your service. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us, so that we can read it and meditate on it and become and experience the life and spirit in our lives, so that we can be life and spirit to this world through the word that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word that we receive in our lives when we go from this place, that you will continue to work in us so that we can be witnesses for you and for your love wherever you place us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many of us think, or all of us will think, that Christmas is behind us. Yes, it is behind us. The decorations are coming down, or probably have come down already. The carols are not there anymore. And life settles back to its familiar rhythm. That's what we are hoping. For many of us, especially in this season of life, that the quieter rhythm is already well known for many of us. So Matthew's Gospel meets us here after the celebration of the Epiphany, after the angels left, after the shepherds left, after the wise men left. It shows us what faith looks like when life moves forward. Like I reminded you earlier, the story of Christmas actually begins with the birth of Christ. And it does not end at Christmas. Many times we put it behind us, but the story continues. Matthew tells a story of life after Christmas, not of a pleasant one. It's much more a story of a grittier, more disturbing, and also ultimately a more realistic. And we all know that when all those decorations and celebrations are gone, we are back to our normal routines, start to experience the daily rhythm that we are used to. The birth of Jesus does not put an end to human tragedy, but it gives us the promise that through it all, there is a God who will be present with us. And perhaps that is the main value of reading and meditating on the story after Christmas. So the story after Christmas is not a very pretty story for Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus. There was so much confusion and so much problems that they had to face and go through. It has changed the lives of thousands of families because of the death of Jesus Christ, because of the birth of Jesus Christ in this world. And you all know the story that we just read today, that after the death, after the birth of Jesus, the wise men came from the east and they went to Herod to look for the king of the Jews. And he was afraid that the new king someday probably would take over him. So he wanted to find out who that was and told the wise men to come back to the palace after their visit of the baby to tell him where the baby is so that he can go kill him. But the wise men figured that out. They didn't go back to the palace. They went back on another route. That's the story of the Magi. But Herod was furious because the wise men did not follow what he told them to follow. So what he decided to do was to make a decision to kill all the babies under 2 years old, to clean it up, so nobody's left. That's what he did, and it's a historical fact that we can look up and read on it. The mass killing of babies by a king. Once he realizes that the Magi failed to return, he was furious. Not only about the Jews, but also anybody who had a small baby. He ordered all of the babies to be killed. So those who walk in the journey of faith, we are guided by some paths, a prophetic path. Many times we want to be comfortable and we want to be rested. And we don't want to be confused and troubled all the time. But Christmas does not bring us that kind of story. It is a story of God's presence in the midst of our troubles. When Joseph and Mary thought that they had a child and they were visited by the angels, they were very happy and they thought they were going to be able to go back home and raise the child in a very peaceful situation, in a family. But that's not what we see as the story continues. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. It's no time to plan, no time to prepare, no time to question. And out of every place to Egypt? Egypt is the place they never wanted to go because that is where they were in bondage centuries ago, their forefathers. They came out of there. And this is where the angel is telling Joseph and Mary to take the child Christ, the Savior of the world, to go back to Egypt or take him to Egypt. And they could not understand it. But there was a purpose behind it. We all know that because the baby would have been killed by Herod if he stayed there. So he followed. The parents followed and took the baby child, the child Christ, to Egypt and stayed there. The Savior of the world becomes a refugee almost before the story of Christmas has settled in. The baby himself has become a refugee in another country, a pagan country, where they don't worship the living God, where they worship idols. And that is where the confusion starts. This is not how we expect Christmas to continue, don't we? We don't expect like that. Many of us understand what it means to leave a place we never planned to leave, just like Joseph and Mary, especially after having a child and starting their family together. But we all go through similar situations of life, situations in life. Like sometimes we wanted to move closer to a family, leave our familiar surroundings, sell our homes, and many of you know how that feels. We leave our homes that we have lived for years to be closer with our children, or go to another place for treatment for our sickness, and many of us know that, how that feels like, or get shut down and shut in our own homes without being able to get out. Our familiar circumstances change to something unfamiliar and uncomfortable. That's the story after Christmas. We all will go through uncomfortable and unhappy and unsettling situations in our lives. It is not all joys and roses and beds of roses every day. It is the hard realities of life that will come and grip us. That is the story that we need to understand, that the God's presence, Emmanuel, is with us. God is with us, Emmanuel. Many times we want to escape from the problems, but many times it doesn't work like that way. God probably guides us through problems rather than escaping us from the problems. His presence in the midst of the problem is more important and more experiential than without having a problem. leaving behind our comfortable situations of life, just like Joseph and Mary, may be hard, but there is good news that God's presence and guidance will be there with us. He has a purpose. He has a better plan for us when we find ourselves in situations like life in Egypt. So whenever we are asked to go to wherever we are going for treatment or other things, other purpose in our lives that we are afraid about unknown, God has already planned his way out there for you. He's already be out there. He's already there waiting for you when you get there. That's what happened with the disciples. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know the story that the disciples were confused. And they're walking away from Jerusalem, confused and frustrated and disappointed. But there was Jesus walking ahead of them. And he met them on their way. And there was a stranger walking with them. You know that story. And they were confused and frustrated. There is a God who goes ahead of us and waits in our situations of life in the future, waiting for us there so we can experience his presence wherever we are at that moment. Aren't we comforted by the fact that we have a God who knows our way ahead of time? So we can be at peace in our lives every day. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about any problems that we may are afraid of facing. In our health situations, in our family life, in our jobs, in our student life, in schools, and wherever we are, certain uncertainties, unknowns may pop up. Sometimes people call it like curveballs. We don't expect them to come. We read that Psalm 91 today. The terror of the night and the pestilence that come by the day. That's what the psalmist was talking about. These are things that we are not expecting every day. But they can come and hit us unexpectedly. But God already knows that this is going to happen to his child. And he will be there with you, prepared to support you at that time. Christmas has changed history. Egypt carries a deep meaning for Israel. It was once a place of bondage that I explained to you. What once represented pain becomes the protection for Jesus. The place of pain and suffering of bondage that their forefathers experienced, that same place became a protection and refuge place for the Savior of the world. God does not always remove us from the difficult places. Sometimes he meets us there and keeps us safe within them. We see or read another similar story in the Old Testament, if you all know the story of Jacob. We read similar in Genesis 42. When they had famine in the land, and they were afraid of dying of famine, and they heard that there was grain in Egypt. So God asked them to go and get food from Egypt. Egypt is, like I told you, a place where they don't worship the living God. But that was the place that God provided for his people, because Jacob's son Joseph, who he thought was dead already, he was actually sold to the Egyptians, and he is the ruler there who had a lot of grains to give out. Even though Jacob did not know that, God had already planned that ahead of them. And that's when Jacob and family went to Egypt, and finally they got settled in Egypt. We know the story if you continue the history of Israel. And eventually they settled there, and that's when kings changed around, and finally there was another king who came and did not know Joseph, and there was bondage and slavery there, and then finally they had to be rescued from there by Moses. So those are the stories about Egypt. Even though Egypt is considered to be a place of bondage and slavery, that is where the Savior got protection and safety. And that's exactly what Matthew was talking about when he said, he quoted this prophecy by Prophet Hosea. He said, out of Egypt I called my son, on verse 15. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus Christ was taken to Egypt. And then, after a few years, when King Herod was dead, the angel of the Lord told them to take Jesus back to Israel. The story does not end there either. When they went back to Israel, they found out that the grandson of the old Herod was ruling there. So they got a little confused and afraid. The prophet then said, then the angel told him to take him to Nazareth. That's how Jesus ended up in Nazareth and not in Bethlehem that we thought he actually was born. He was called a Nazarene because he grew up in Nazareth, because God guided them to there to raise him as a boy there. So Joseph and Mary's life was so much going in a winding way after the Christmas. Scripture says that they obeyed without questioning. No resistance, just obedience. There comes a season in our life when we realize that we don't have control of anything anymore. And many of us feel like that too. Once all those things that we were able to do, we may not be able to do. Once we were able to not to get support from many other people, we may have to get support from many others and help every day. Our strength changed, our certainty fades, and our confidence shatters. That is when the story of Christmas will become a reality. God is our power, God is our strength, and He will give us the support and the strength that we need when we feel ourselves weak and vulnerable. Christmas has changed the mission of Mary and Joseph. It was not about Mary and Joseph. They found out that it is about the baby Jesus. Their life is not what God wanted to be in front of, but in front of Jesus Christ is the focus of life. That's a lesson we learned from there. It is not about us in this world. It is about God and His kingdom. As people of God, God has provided everything that we need in this world, not to live for ourselves, but to live for the glory of God and the blessing of this world. They returned back not to Israel, but to Nazareth. They fled to Egypt to escape King Herod's wrath. They lived in Egypt as refugees, and then about 8 years after that, Jesus' birth, he was back to Nazareth, living as a boy there. During this time, they were far from family and familiarity, raising young child in an unknown world. Despite these trials, they trusted in God and embraced the journey He set before them. We all have experiences of Nazareth also in our lives. Nazareth was not in their plans when they planned their life together. But that is where God settled them to raise the baby Jesus. Nazareth was a place of nobody knows about Nazareth, right? There's a famous saying that we read in the Bible also, that can anything good come from Nazareth? Because when Jesus started his ministry, there was a disciple who wanted to follow Jesus, and he was from Nazareth. And people said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's in the Gospels, we read that. So Nazareth was a place of nobody's radar anywhere. The scripture tells us that that is where Jesus grew. God does some of his most important work not in moments of excitement or fame, but years of steady and faithful living. Nazareth reminds us that a quieter life is not a lesser life. God is not finished with us when life slows down. Spiritual growth continues in routines and in faithfulness. Jesus spent far more time in Nazareth than he ever did preaching or performing miracles, in a quiet, unknown neighborhood. Taken together, the journey to Egypt, the return to Nazareth, all teach us that God guides us through both crisis and our calm. He protects us when fear is near, and He forms us when life feels ordinary. Through the life situations of difficulties and pain, He molds us together to better people, to be a better part of the kingdom of God, so that we can be a comfort and testimony to others about God's grace. Christmas changes our destiny, and that's what happened to Joseph and Mary. On our journey toward eternity, toward seeing the face of Jesus one day, our journey doesn't end in this world. We have a life after death that we are journeying to, the eternity where we are going to be spending our eternity together with the Lord Jesus Christ. and our dear ones who have gone before us in faith. We'll be enjoying the presence of all of our dear ones in the presence of God. So the Christmas story will continue to eternity. It never ends. Great news for that. So let us say happy or Merry Christmas every day, every morning. God is good, and He guides us through that. Let us embrace each moment, find joy in our journey, and share that with other people every day. We are people of Christmas. We are a Christmas people. Joyful and merrily enjoying the life every day, even in the midst of our pain and sufferings. Because there is a great God who is greater and more powerful than any forces out there, any problems out there. T.S. Eliot, the great poet, wrote a poem about the journey of the Magi. And he talks about the return of the Magi, where he returned. They returned to their own places after that. They didn't stay in Israel. They went back to their place, no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. They went back to their old circumstances, to the traditions and culture. God calls us not to be comfortable, but to go back to the uncomfortable areas of our communities, our life, our families, so that we can share His love in those situations, and even though they may not be comfortable for us. There is a story about a 73-year-old Chinese evangelist in China. He still travels, or when he was living, he was still traveling when he was 73 years old. And he traveled like 40 hours every day to preach the kingdom of God in communist China, to spread the love of Christ. And he spends hours on bicycles going to the remote villages to give tracts and preach the love of Christ to others. Because of his work, there is a big church, an underground church, more than 5,000 members still gathering, even though the communist government have been restricting them in many different ways. It has been growing ever since. It started in the 70s. But it is all because of this 73-year-old person, Jonah, who started that ministry there. And his motto, or his bicycle, had a reading there: rest is not for this world, the rest for me is for the next world. Remember, that is what God called us to be. Not to be at rest here. We have to be at work here every day. But our rest will be with eternity when we are with God. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place, to be His faithful witnesses, to share His love, care, and compassion to the people who need us, to need the love of God. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 128 in the book, "He Leadeth Me." If you are able, please stand. It's also on the screen if you want to follow. Please stand if you are able.
Faithful for
God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's way I will not face, it's God who endured and leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. Thus faithful follower I would be, by my his hand he leadeth me.
People of God, after Christmas, the question is not whether we are finished with Christmas. It is about where we are going next. The question is not whether God has come near. He has already come near. He will support us. He will be ahead of us in the situations of life before us to help us through the troubles of our lives. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.